And I'd like to introduce Wilmer Raftson.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, and his topic is the incidence of cancer among population using geothermal hot water. So especially in a place like Iceland, they'd be fascinated with a topic like this since they have a lot of geothermal. And it's a census-based cohort study, and he's an MD, and I'll let him say a few more words about himself, but welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you about this increased incidence of cancer among population utilizing geothermal hot water. And we are a bit puzzled over our results and don't understand the causes of this. So we would appreciate your ideas and suggestions at the end of the lecture. And I am Wilhelm Raffson, and I have no relationship to disclose. There are several previous studies on population of geothermal areas or volcanic areas. One is by Bate and co-workers. They found an increased incidence of nasal cancer and lung cancer among inhabitants of Rotorua, an urban community located on a geothermal field in New Zealand. And there's a work from Pellegrini and co-workers who compared the population in Sicily according to volcanic activities and found an association with thyroid cancer. And from Azor, Amaral and co-workers studied those who were chronically exposed to volcanic activity and found an increased incidence of breast cancer. And in our previous studies, we have found several cancer in XX among population which are exposed to high temperature geothermal areas in Iceland. Among these cancers, which we are also studying in this study. All these studies on geothermal areas or volcanic areas, they rely on ecological estimates of exposures. And there are several gases involved. The most abundant are carbon dioxide and hydrogen sulfide. But there is also radon there, however, in low concentrations, and there are traces of heavy metals also. In Iceland, we use the geothermal hot water for space heating. But it doesn't end there. We also use it to generate warm water. So when one turns on the warm water tap, it means that the geothermal water is aired with release of the gases. Thus, traces of these gases contribute to indoor air climate in many places. And those who are visiting Iceland easily perceive the rotten egg smell of hydrogen sulfide when they shower there for the first time, at least. But we natives are used to this and don't bother it anymore. So the aim was to assess whether there is an association among population using geothermal hot water for heating, bathing, washing, laundry, and in spas and swimming pools, and whether this is associated with cancer risk. Iceland is located in the North Atlantic Ocean, in the middle of Atlantic, on the mid-Atlantic Ridge. And in Iceland, you can observe the North America and the Eurasian tectonic plate moving apart. So there is a special anomalous part in the Ridge Iceland where you have a lot of volcanic productivity and several geothermal fields. And here's a closer look at the Ridge passing through Iceland. And the slang says that the mid-Atlantic Ridge goes on shore in the southern peninsula of Reykjanes and passing the country and leaving it to the north. But this is, of course, a slang that's a geological phenomenon. This study is based on cohort which is from the census 1981. And the follow-up is from that year to the end of 2010. And we are using record linkage here with a personal identifier, which are used in the census and in several population-based registries. And since this is a cancer incidence study, the cancer registry is handy here. The diagnosis stored in the registry are up to 95% histologically confirmed. And why do we need the National Registry and National Cause of Death Registry then? That is for the follow-up, because the person years at risk ends if you move abroad. So we use the National Registry to registrate this, and the National Cause of Death Registry to identify those who have died. And the logic is that you don't get cancer after your death, and the cancer registry is not possible to follow people which have moved in the cancer registry. They could be registered in other cancer registries, but not in the Icelandic one. We definite and use a community code to identify seven communities which have had geothermal hot water supplies since 1972. And you identify two comparison groups without such early use of geothermal hot water. These are the warm reference area, we call, which is located on a bedrock which is less than 1 million year old. And the cold reference area is on bedrock which are older, which are 15 million years old. And in this map here, you can see this, the age of the bedrock in Iceland. The brown area in the middle is where the bedrock is less than 1 million years old. The green areas are the areas where the bedrock is 3.3 million years old, and the light brown areas in the west and east part of the country, there the bedrock is 15 million year old. The white areas are glaciers, and all these black and red spots are geothermal fields. And here you have a map of Iceland showing the division by community codes into four categories. The first one is the exposed areas, the seven communities with the geothermal district heating since 1972. These are on the enlarged map in south and the north. And the second area are the cold areas in the west and in the east, which are definitely precluded from the volcanic active area in the middle of the country, which are shown with black here. That's this third area, which we call warm reference area on north and south part of the country. The little spot which is green in the corner, which I can point on here, that's the capital area and southwest peninsula, and this area are excluded from the study. The reason for this exclusion is that it's known from the cancer registry that this area have higher cancer incidence than the other part of the countries, and this is what we call a capital effect, well known from other cancer registries, that the capital area and large cities have higher cancer incidence than other parts of countries. The information, basic information from the census is on age, gender, education, housing, and we were also able to estimate the age of first birth among women and the smoking habits from surveys in the population, and divide this on community codes and gender. So that was put in the Cox regression. Well, here are the baseline characteristics of the exposed area and the warm and cold reference area. And as you see from gender, age, the education and housing, that this is quite similar between these areas, and no problem to adjust for this in the Cox model. And here are the results, the cancer incidence among men and women compared to warm and cold reference area. And I'm just showing you here the cancer which are statistically different in the warm and compared to the warm and cold reference area. And we see that there's an increase in all cancer, in breast cancer, prostate cancer, kidney, and lymphoid or hematopoietic tissues, and also for basal cell carcinoma of skin. There is a deficit for brain cancer in one of the reference areas here. And this slide is showing the result for cancer incidence and the hazard ratio among men, where we compare the exposed area with the two reference areas. And here there's an excess for all cancer, esophageal cancer, prostate and kidney cancer, and basal cell carcinoma of skin. And here are the results for women separately. And we are comparing them also between these areas. And we see there's an excess in breast cancer, lymphoid or hematopoietic tissues cancer, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and basal cell carcinoma of skin. To the strength of our study, we count the use of the registries and the universal use of the personal identifier, which is used both in the census and in the registries. So we have a long follow-up, nearly 30 years here. And just to remind you that most of the cases are histologically verified in the cancer registry. Why don't we have the 100% verified? That's because some are turned into the cancer registry from death certificate information. The weakness in our study is, of course, the lack of information of individual exposure in mode and magnitude of the ground gas emission on the geothermal fields, and also the lacking information of the content of the geothermal hot water. However, we know that this population have had an intimate contact with the geothermal hot water for decades. The geothermal water is not used as a drinking water. It's full smelling and bad tasting, and it's abundant of other types of water. In our future studies, we are asking for information on length of residency and are working on that to get that information from the Statistics Iceland and from the personal and the Data Protection Commission. The increased rate for several cancer in the present study is confirming the result from previous studies from Iceland. And we would like to underline that the hazard ratio were higher when comparing to cold than to warm reference areas, indicating an exposure relationship. And future studies are needed on the gas emission occurring in geothermal and volcanic areas, and the content of the geothermal hot water. And we welcome suggestions from the audience about how to continue, what components to focus on in the future studies. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Rockinson. First of all, were there suggestions on which chemicals or physical agents to study? Obviously, geothermal is a very important source of energy in Iceland, and we're interested with the environmental impacts and the health impacts of different energy choices, especially with climate change and melting glaciers and volcanic eruptions and all of these kinds of things. Is there anybody that would like to make a comment on, you know, further studies? Jason?
Yes, in the U.S., we look at radon as being a known carcinogen, and I think there are some folks and Danes Swedes that there are radon baths or something that people can go because they believe that there might be some sort of, you know, protective effects associated with low-level radon exposure.
Yeah.
I'm not for sure on that, but, you know, with well water, radon is something else that we're sometimes concerned with in the United States as being something that could be in the air.
Well, thank you very much for that. And I wanted to mention that you can't help when you're touring New Zealand on the North Island to be Rotorua and the geothermal development there, or even when you go to Yellowstone. Of course, most of us don't live around Yellowstone, but we see the fountains and you can smell the hydrogen sulfide. Picking areas that might be similar but very different in terms of continent on the North Island geographically might be, and depending on health data that's collected in the communities, might be an interesting way to approach things. I'd like to open up for another question, if there's any. This is a fantastic area of research, and I'd like to give Dr. Raffens and Winmore a big hand. Thank you very much.
Thank you.